Let us be called into worship. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let the people now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us, the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us worship God. Our opening hymn is All Creatures of Our God and King, verses 1, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
Our scripture lesson this morning, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Scripture lesson will be read by Sister Deborah Smith, United Presbyterian Church.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Peter's confession of Christ. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the man of God is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you. I don't know about you, and I don't know if you've noticed or not, but it seems like CEOs and human resource departments of nearly every sort of business enterprise, as well as every sports coach in the land these days, is talking about how to build a winning culture. Building the right culture is said to be the magic formula for uniting your team around a single vision. The last political convention we had this week, or last week, talked about how to unite people together. And I'm sure next week in the political convention, there will be mention of how to make everybody one and make everybody great, make the nation great. Some companies who talk about building a winning culture address this challenge by scheduling a team building retreat. Have any of you ever been on a team building retreat? These retreats are designed to get people away from their workplace, outside their comfort zone, and teach them to work together to learn a new skill or face a new challenge. It sounds good in theory, but not all team building exercises accomplish these purposes. The folks of QuickBase software company asked for feedback on some of the worst team building exercises that actual businesses have put their employees through. One company brought in a consultant who asked all the employees to kick off a team building meeting by going around the conference table and sharing what they didn't like about their fellow employees. Good idea, right? Wrong. Literally, within minutes, all the employees were angry or in tears. What would you think of trying that exercise at your workplace? Or better yet, let's try it at the church one day. Don't think it would work. Would it improve your ability to work together? Like cats and dogs, I would imagine. Another person wrote about a team building retreat at a horse farm. The goal of the exercise was to improve each employee's communication skills, believe it or not, by having them learn to communicate with a horse. That's a novel approach. What could go wrong? Would you believe one employee nearly got trampled by one rambunctious horse? Nothing like a near-death experience to bring a team together. Well, the horse never revealed why he did it, though. So I guess the communication level was pretty low. But one of the strangest team-building exercises on the Quick Base blog was from an employee who said their team sat through a two-hour exercise where they were instructed to visualize flying over the ocean to a mythical place called the Temple of the Dolphin. Then they were asked to watch dolphin videos and study the unique leadership skills of dolphins. That's a new one for me. I didn't know dolphins had leadership skills. Jesus, of course, was ahead of his time when it came to team building. He took his disciples off from time to time for retreats. But these retreats had nothing to do with leadership skills of dolphins or learning to communicate with horses. Usually these retreats were a time for prayer or conversation about the kingdom of God. Sometimes, however, Jesus took his disciples to a place outside their comfort zone. Such a place shows up in our lesson for the day from Matthew's gospel. This unusual place was named Caesarea Philippi. You've heard that name before. Caesarea Philippi was an ancient Roman city known for its worship of foreign gods. Now, there was a sacred cave at the entrance to Caesarea Philippi, and all around this cave were carved niches filled with small statues of the various gods worshiped there, gods like Hermes and Echo. The region was also full of pagan religious sites, many devoted to the god Pan. Pan was, if you remember, the half man, half goat, who had the ability to create a feeling of sudden and overwhelming fear for humans. It's from his name that we get the English word panic. Put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Jesus has led you to a place that makes you very uncomfortable. Having been raised in the Jewish faith, which rejected all forms of idolatry, you feel like a fish out of water in such a place. Everywhere you look, you see evidence of shrines and statues and inscriptions to various pagan gods. You're confronted with abomination in every direction. And as you begin to stare at your sandals to avoid staring at these ungodly idols, Jesus asks you the strangest question. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Can't you hear the disciples' sighs of relief? Oh, okay. So he's just taking an opinion poll. So they answer. Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Everyone has their own ideas about Jesus. And they're all relatively positive ideas. Nothing wrong with being compared to some of Israel's greatest prophets. You can't do better than John the Baptist, Elijah, and Jeremiah, unless, of course, you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am. Then being compared to John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah is a little insulting. But Jesus doesn't correct the disciples. He just asks another question. But what about you? Who do you say I am? So this is no longer an opinion poll. This isn't Jesus making small talk. This is decision time. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter, of course you know Simon Peter, and his mom. Simon Peter is the only one to respond. You are the Messiah, he testifies, the Son of the living God. Simon Peter doesn't realize it, but he's just stepped through a one-way door. He's crossed the dividing line. He has announced that Jesus is the anointed one, promised of God to the nation of Israel. He is God in the flesh, not the image of a dead idol, but the Son of the living God. I imagine Jesus had a huge smile on his face when he turned to Simon and said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven." Then he ordered the disciples to tell no one that he was the Messiah. This, by the way, many times you'll see in the script, in scripture reading, that Jesus told folks, "Don't say who I am." This is called the Messianic secret. And it's a theme that's throughout the scripture lessons that says that Jesus wanted to hold his identity until the right time of revelation. So many times he would say to them, "Don't tell anybody who I am." And what he didn't put on the end was, "Right now." The Messianic secret. We like to think of Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit fell upon a group of Jesus followers and gave them the power to do ministry in Jesus' name, as the birthday of Christian church. But the first time the church is mentioned in the Bible is in this passage here in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 16. This moment is the real birthday of the church. And notice how Jesus announces it. "On this rock, I will build my church." Not the church, not a church, my church. This is Jesus' church, not my church, not your church, but Jesus' church. The word Jesus used for church is ecclesia. That term doesn't refer to a building. Ecclesia means a called out people. From ecclesia, we get the term ecclesiastic. Jesus is casting a vision for his disciples. He's showing them that his ministry isn't just for this time and this place and this people. His ministry will continue long after his death. His ministry will attract people from all over the world. His church is for all time and for all people. That's why you and I are gathered today in worship, isn't it? It's because over 2,000 years ago, Jesus envisioned you and me and billions of people all over the world coming together to do his work. What does it mean to be a called out people? In his teachings, he gives us some clear instructions. First of all, Jesus calls us to be a light to the nations of the world. Matthew 5, 14 and 15 read like this. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. What does that mean to you? That we are to be the light of the world. To me, it means that we are to be a living example of what the kingdom of God is all about. And what living in the kingdom of God is all about. According to a story in Leadership Magazine 4 years ago, the city of Jackson, Mississippi, once endured a scandal among their city councils, their city council members. Well, scandals, no big news to us these days, but back then, it was chaotic, it was earth-shattering. The council president, along with another member, had been caught in an unethical situation. A number of community leaders were brought together for a televised panel discussion on the issue. Journalist Matt Freeman participated in the panel. At one point, the moderator asked, "Matt, whose fault is this?" Matt savored the question for a moment. He admits that he was ready to denounce the council president in no uncertain terms. But suddenly, another man spoke up. It was Pastor John Perkins, also a participant on the panel. And Pastor Perkins simply said, "It's my fault." Everyone turned to stare at this strange comment. Pastor Perkins went on, "I have lived in this community for decades as a Bible teacher. I should have been able to create an environment where what our council president did would have been unthinkable because of my efforts. You want someone to blame? I'll take the blame, all of it." He saw himself having failed in his responsibility to the community. Pastor Perkins, you see, understood what Jesus meant when he said, "You are the light of the world." You see, we are to be the embodiment of righteous living. We are to be the example of what living in the kingdom of God is all about. "Let your light so shine before others," said Jesus, "that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus calls us to be a light to the nations of the world. And Jesus also calls us to be a community of love. Ecclesia is a plural word. Once you become a follower of Christ, you are one in heart, mind, and spirit with every other follower of Christ all over the world throughout time and history. So you are connected to Francis of Assisi. You are connected to Emil Nylander, who we see on the screen right now. You are connected to Christians wherever they are. Jesus calls us to be a community of love. Ecclesia is a plural word. Again, once you become a follower of Christ, you are one in heart and mind. You see, we can't follow Christ and look out for our own self-interest. We can't follow Christ and look down on a fellow believer. We are a community that spans more than 2,000 years of history and covers every nation, every skin color, every language, every nationality, and every social class on earth. And Jesus' last prayer before his arrest and crucifixion was that we would all be one. One in heart, one in mind, one in spirit, one in love. In December 2019, a five-year-old boy named Michael was adopted out of the foster care system of Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's always great news when a child gets adopted. But Michael's adoption was extraordinary. When Michael's foster parents told his kindergarten teacher that the adoption hearing was coming up, the kindergarten teacher arranged for every child in Michael's class to attend the hearing and show their support for their classmate. Michael's foster parents said the kids in his kindergarten class had been exceptionally kind and welcoming toward him from the very first day. They loved him. So it was only appropriate that on Michael's special day, they all showed up Imagine the judge's surprise when she entered the courtroom for a standard adoption hearing and saw 39 five-year-olds waving red paper hearts in support of Michael. The judge even took the time to ask the children to share what Michael meant to them. Like little Michael, when you became a follower of Jesus, you were adopted into the church, the called out people, the ecclesia. You are no longer alone. You have a family who shares your joys and your heartaches. We belong to Jesus and we belong to each other. That's what it means to be the church. Jesus calls us to be the light for the nations. He also calls us to be a community of love. And finally, Jesus calls us to reach out to those who do not know him. Look again at his words in verse 18. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, Hades, will not overcome it. I will build my church. Jesus is building the church through us. Isn't that a sobering thought? 2,000 years ago, Jesus had a vision of people all over the world, people just like you and me, joining together in prayer and Bible study and worship, going out to minister to the hurting and the needy in our communities, and loving each other with a sacrificial love that is so contagious that it draws others to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Francis Chan, the author of the book Crazy Love, visited church congregations around the world and studied what passionate, committed, courageous Christian faith looks like. He told of his conversation with a Chinese pastor who served the underground church in China. For most of the last century, the church in China was forced to exist in secret cells because of government persecution. Amazingly, this did not hinder the church's growth. This pastor said that the persecution faced by the underground church forced them to focus on Jesus' mission even more. He stated that the underground Chinese church is built on five pillars. You might be interested to know what those pillars were. One, studying the Word of God. Two, devotion to prayer. Three, the expectation that every single believer would share their faith in Jesus with others. Four, regular expectation of miracles. And five, embracing suffering for the glory of Christ. That's not a formula that you would think about or think would be all that attractive, especially that part about suffering. And yet, it's estimated that there are currently 100 million Christians in China. The so-called underground church accomplished amazing feats in Jesus' name, even in the face of persecution. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome. That's a promise Jesus made 2,000 years ago. The gates of hell will not overcome the church. Jesus is still building his church. He has called out people, and not even the gates of hell can stand against us. We look at churches that are dying in this land and conclude that the battle is being lost. That's not so. There are more people serving Christ around the world than ever before in human history. Many are still being persecuted. Many are still practicing their faith underground. But the Church of Jesus Christ is still a battering ram against the gates of hell, against injustice, against that which destroys society rather than building it up, that which divides us rather than unites us. The Church of Jesus Christ is still a battering ram. you and I have been called out to be a light for the nations of the world, called out to be a community of love, called out to reach out to those who do not know him. And just like, you know, when in modern day times, when somebody calls you out, they're calling you out to a purpose. We are called out to the vision Jesus Christ proclaimed, to the vision that Jesus Christ died for and passed on to us. Wouldn't you like to be part of a movement that is that exciting? Hopefully, you are already a part of it. If not, today is a good time to make the decision to join Jesus Christ's winning team. Let the people of God say amen. We prepare to share our joys and concerns. One of our joys this morning, you saw the face of Emil Nylander, but Emil and Helen Nylander have returned from Sierra Leone. They've been back for a week, and so we greet our brothers and sisters who are with us, our brother and sister who are with us about 6 months each year. And so we welcome them from Sierra Leone. They are still in quarantine, but after we have our time of fellowship, hopefully they will unmute their sound and their video so that we can share in a moment of fellowship. We also send our joys to James and Jacqueline Collier, who yesterday celebrated 55 years of marriage. We send our prayers of concern and continuing concern to Elder Cheryl Morgan Duncan and her family in Jamaica. We send our continued prayers to Edna Anderson, just to let you know some people are concerned. She's okay. She texted me this morning. She's still undergoing tests and taking medication, but she's okay. And we continue to pray for Gloria Jenkins, who we hope will be back home soon. She was in a rehab facility, so we will contact her. Are there other joys and concerns that need to be shared this morning?
Hello. My name is Deborah Neal Huffin from United Presbyterian Church. Last week, I asked you all to, I had a joy because my sister had went home from the hospital, but about maybe a couple hours after speaking to you all, she transitioned and went home to be with the Lord. So I'm not going to see my joy turn into a sorrow. It's still a joy because she's in a better place and no more pain. And I truly want to just thank the church for your prayers. Thank you.
Okay, our condolences are with you, Sister Neal. Yeah, she came home and she was with you when she transitioned, with the family. Maybe not with you, but with her family.
Right.
So, yeah, we give thanks for that. We give thanks for that. But we know that hits you awfully hard, and so our prayers of condolence are with you and your family this morning.
Thank you so much, Reverend Tate.
Are there other joys and concerns to be shared?
Yeah, so this is Fiona. Hi, everybody. Happy Sunday.
Can you speak a little louder, Sister Fiona?
Yes, ma'am. So happy Sunday, everybody. last week there was prayers for our Sister Carmen Henry for speedy recovery. I just want to ask for continued prayers for her so she gets well sooner. And just keep the family in our prayers.
All right. We will do that. Thank you. Other joys and concerns from our elders.
Good morning. This is Micheline Moody Stevens. I bring you greetings from the United Presbyterian Church. We continue to pray for the sick and shut-in, as well as all the members of the United Presbyterian Church. And again, we pray for all those mourning the loss of loved ones. You heard Elder Deborah Neal mentioned that she lost her sister, as well as that's Elder Mildred Neal's daughter as well. We also want to ask that you continue to pray for Elder Denise Davis Miller, who passed away recently. and to again pray for Elder Cheryl Duncan's safe return home and for her dad who's gravely ill.
All right, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. Other
concerns. Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Good morning, church family.
Yes, if you could speak a little bit louder.
Yes, good morning, church family.
This good morning. Is Elizabeth.
A prayer request for a classmate of mine who lost her father to COVID and her grandmother a month later to COVID, and now her mother is in a diabetic coma in the ICU. Her mother's name is Dorothy, and I'm asking for prayers for her and her family.
All right. Thank you, sister. Thank you, Elder Adolfo.
Good morning, everyone. This is Elder Melvin England. I have a prayer request from Ms. Lurleen Gillespie, asking that we pray for the superintendent, Glenna Crockett, who's recovering from elective surgery. And I pray all is well.
All right. Superintendent Glenna Crockett, recovering from surgery. Other joys or concerns? Other joys or concerns?
Yes, this is Ruth White. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm asking for prayers for my cousin Dorothy Bond, who is up in Canada, who is recovering from eye surgery in the last 2 weeks, and also for our Carmen Medina from Care Group 3. She is having some problems with pain from arthritis, so we ask for prayers for her relief from the pain. Okay, thanks.
All right. Thank you, Deacon White. Let us then, as the people of God, share together in a time of prayer. Who can probe the depths of your wisdom, O God, and who can attain the height of your vision? Your goodness surrounds us like the waters of the ocean. Your mercy envelops us as the sun warms our days. The gentle breezes hint of your tenderness. The claps of thunder remind us of your power and your might. You bring order out of chaos. You command discipline in the midst of faithfulness, and you offer forgiveness with the promise of new life. You stoop to us as a mother bends to lift up her child. You lend an ear to our needs and hear our supplications. You rejoice at the sounds of our thanksgivings and our joys, and are warmed with the songs of our praise. You leave us not alone during times of temptation, but you assure us that you will be with us when put to the test. Your spirit comforts us in times of distress, in times of grief, in times of anxiety, in times of sadness. Your spirit comforts us and goads us to action when our commitment wanes. In Jesus, you bestow on us the worth we possess. You tell us that we are your very own. We owe all our successes to his love. He endured persecution for our sakes. He came into the world to enlighten our way. And Lord, in Jesus Christ, we are told that we are given, that we have been adopted into a new and everlasting family. Giver of compassion and mercy, make us mindful once again of the water that cleanses. As the water that sprang from a rock soothed the parched throats of the Israelites, enliven our faith as we recall our baptism. May our confession of Christ as our Redeemer and Savior sustain us as we thirst for salvation. And Lord, this morning, as we have heard of brothers and sisters in our community of faith who have died, as we hear of those who are ill, as we hear of those who are experiencing grief, and as we hear of those who are enjoying a particular time of joy, lead us to offer to others the cup of joy and the cup of salvation and the cup of hope that brings refreshment and rest. Fill our lips with the story of Christ's deliverance from evil. Fill our lips with the story of how he faced oppression and faced injustice with embracing love and concern. And Lord, let others through us taste your goodness and draw from the well of your wisdom and come to confess Christ as the source of their life. Even as we pray, Lord, in the manner in which you taught us to pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, of Called as Partners in Christ's Service.
Our compassion
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father be sent to you and be with you. And may the Holy Spirit come upon you and disturb you and trouble you and set before you a vision that you are called to accomplish. May you be so enchanted by this vision that you fall on your knees and remain there until God fills you with his power and grants you his peace, both now and forever. Amen. You now to unmute, to click on your camera so that you can come on screen if you're decent, and to share in a time of fellowship and greetings.
Hey, greetings,
Mr. Diamond. We keep seeing your face. Yes, indeed.
How are you this morning?
Yeah, I can't complain. What about you? What about you?
Seeing you. Others may join in. Let me try to get a gallery view so I can see all the people who are on this morning. Okay.
Hello, everyone. This is the Anglers. We want to congratulate Jackie and Jim on their anniversary. We are so proud of you two.
Amen.
God bless
you. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
That hiccup this morning, everyone. We got through it. Thank you for your patience.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I just noticed that we do a Zoom recording here, and I didn't click on the button. And so I forgot to remind you that the co-host backs me up on that. So we didn't record through Zoom, but Garth has recorded the service on through separately, and so that will be online. He usually gets it on like within, you know, short time after the service. So
we thought we were recording. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I paused it, and you know, either one of us could have recorded it. I mean, could have unpaused it. I didn't see it until I got to the prayer and said, "Oops,
I didn't push the unpause button. Such
Garth
is life.
Had us covered. Thank you, Garth.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Okay. And we saw Sister Menon is on. So let me see there. Let me see if I can get a gallery view
there
going.
You
got to
come over here.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. How are you, everyone? I wanted to jump and say that I saw Sister Mary Johnson yesterday, and she's recovering. So let's keep her in our thoughts and our prayers. She has, been recovering.
Mary Celeste Johnson.
Yes, Mary Celeste Johnson, yes.
Okay.
I was happy to see her.
Okay, great.
So have a good week, everyone. God bless you.
All right. And we see Sister Niles Dandy on. Hello. Okay, I'm going through the list here. Let's see.
Good morning, Reverend Tate, from your Emmanuel family, Willis Price.
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine.
So, yes, indeed. I didn't know whether, I needed to keep sending, the contact information. So if you'll give me some guidance as to what to do with that.
Okay. We'll send it out to everyone in a mailing this week.
Okay. How's Linda doing?
She's doing fine. Thank you.
Give her my best.
Will do. Okay.
And I understand in Indianapolis, you all are getting kind of weird there. But anyway, that's a whole nother story.
Well, that's always been the case.
Okay. Hi, Andrew.
Morning. Hey, guys.
Good morning. How you doing?
Hi, Andrew. How you doing?
Betty Easley is there.
Hi, Betty.
Yes. Well, yeah, we got to.
I just want to say hi to you guys.
Okay.
Hi. Have a great day.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. And so, Betty Easley, let's see. We're going to try to unmute you. Or you can unmute yourself. Yeah, hit the microphone. There you go.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning. Good
morning. Thank you so much for the birthday greetings from last week. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And celebrate.
How is life down there in Florida?
Life is good.
Okay. Yeah, it's weird. With the storm that hit, I was surprised at how much devastation there was. This far inland with that storm.
Yeah.
And then turned around and heard about Iowa, where there was a tornado, what have you. So I went to school there, and so I know several folks there, and there was a lot of devastation in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, we just, Michael Sellers is here, and so we're going to try to work with him so he could get here where the service occurred.
I gave him that information, but.
Okay, so we'll kind of work with him and try to get him here. Hello, Kathy Wahlberg.
Hello, how are you?
Okay.
Beautiful service this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Jim. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hi, Betty.
We wanted to allow Michael to say hello, but I guess he's gone the other way. Okay. But for all of you who are on, we're going to try to have we're going to do a test run of our live streaming service on the 13th. So some of us will be here, but we'll be live streaming. I don't know if the login information will change or not. That's for Melvin England and the worship committee to find out. We're gonna enable it so that you log in, you can call in, but again, the 13th will be a test run, and then on the 20th, of September, we will gather. For those who want to gather in person, we will gather in worship and live stream the service. So, you know, we're getting kind of technologically ready, I guess. So, all right then, I'm going to, Michael's still out here. What is Michael doing? Michael, tell Michael to come and say hello.
Hi.
Michael's still there? Okay. Okay.
He wants to know when they're open again, so I told him maybe he comes September 13th.
Yeah.
That day.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, Michael left us, and so we'll catch him on the street someplace. Yeah. So he's trying to hook into the Zoom recording. So. Maybe we'll have a conversation with him, or maybe Mr. England or Mr. Kyle, you can have a conversation with him.
We did.
Probably no later, no earlier than Saturday, to kind of help him understand what time the service starts or whatever. So.
Good morning, church family. It's Lurleen and Ron
from Atlanta. Hello.
Good morning. I want to congratulate Jackie and Jim. That's beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you.
Ron and I will grow up.
Thank you.
Hey, Mel. Okay, we need to see your face next time, so you're going to have to unblock your camera.
I have to work on that.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, and Emil and Helen Nylander, welcome home to America for your annual visit. And you're looking great, Emil.
Yes. That picture kept flashing, and it's like, okay. Is it a face from on high or what? But we're glad that they are back and safe. So, and again, for those of you with concern for Edna Anderson, she's having tests done. She thought she'd be out of the hospital with the various tests. Are you on, Sister Edna? She thought she'd be out by this time, but they, you know, they're still doing a test and kind of monitoring her. But she's okay. She's
hello?
Okay. Edna Anderson?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we want to. If folks were concerned, so they needed to hear your voice.
Oh, okay. The voice is the same. And I look the same. Well, maybe not quite, but I'm doing all right, everybody. And I thank you all for your prayers and cards and concerns. And hopefully I can come home soon.
Okay, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay, we hope so too. So you can enjoy the humidity that we're experiencing right now and all the other stuff.
So. Okay.
All right then. So we will say peace be with each of you. And, you know, unless you want to stay on what have you, I'm going to leave. And so for those of you who need to stay on and talk, you can do that. But bye. Yes, sir. What did you say, Mr. Nylander?
I said, hello, how are you?
Goodbye.
Take care.
All right. You too. So.
Sarah.